holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is April 11, 2019. Welcome to today's broadcast. The first story we're going to talk about today is very shocking, actually. In China, Chinese scientists have put a human gene into monkeys. The idea is to make monkeys more intelligent, more like humans. The surface of this story may sound innocent enough, just experimenting, you know, playing around, seeing what they can do. But creating a transgenic species is a huge step in genetic modification. Of course, there is an outcry around the world by biologic ethicists who say that this is absolutely wrong, that it hasn't been discussed, and, you know, should we even allow this at all? That argument can be held for another day, but I want to point out in this story, as it starts out, very clearly says researchers from China and the United States, now this is not just China, and the United States have created transgenic monkeys carrying a human gene that is important for brain development, and the monkeys showed human-like brain development. Scientists have identified several genes that are linked to primate brain size. MCPH1 is the gene that is expressed during fetal brain development. Mutations in MCPH1 can lead to microcephaly, a development disorder characterized by a small brain. Now, the study goes on. The article's not very long, but you get the idea of what they've done. They're attempting to just to see how intelligence genes work in other species. Of course, it would be too far of a step to go to put that gene into human embryos to create super intelligent people. You can almost imagine that's going to come in time after the shock wears off of what they've done with monkeys. Now, the reason I'm making a big deal out of this is that the technocrat mind has a very dim view of the human condition. And when I say dim, I mean they view animals in the same way that they view humans. They're just collections of atoms and molecules and the basic elements of the earth. There's no difference really between a monkey and a human, except that, of course, the human can think better. The human has superiority in terms of creating strategies and so on to dominate the environment, and monkeys don't. Maybe these people are trying to give the monkeys an edge. I don't really think so, but I do want to point out that this view of humanity goes back to the original days of technocracy. This is not new. This has been the way it is from day one when technocracy was originally coined at Columbia University, New York City. And that was in 1932. And then 1934, M. King Hubbard wrote the Technocracy Study Course, which became the Bible, basically, for all technocrats in North America, and actually in Europe, too. So chapter 21 in this Technocracy Study Course is titled The Human Animal. Now, that alone should give you a clue of what their view of humans are. They're animals, just like monkeys, cows, dogs, pigs, cattle. They're just animals. You say, well, how can anybody believe that? Well, here's this study course went to great lengths to quote-unquote debunk the superior view of man, that man was created by God and placed on earth to subdue the planet, et cetera, et cetera. And they came up with the idea, or proposed the idea, that now that all the scientific myths or unscientific myths were debunked, though they can get down to business and really figure out what makes mankind tick. Well, the summary of this chapter, chapter 21, The Human Animal, let me just read you three of the first six or seven points in the summary, and you get the idea. Point number one, the human animal is composed of chemical atoms, which are derived from the ordinary inorganic materials of the earth, and which ultimately return to the place from which they came. Number two, the human being is an engine taking potential energy in the form of chemical combinations contained in food and converting this potential energy into heat, work, and body tissue. The thermodynamic processes involved, while more complicated in detail, are in exact accordance with the laws of thermodynamics and are in no way essential, different from the corresponding processes in man-made engines. Point number three, the human animal responds to its external environment through the mechanisms of the conditioned reflex, which is a purely automatic but tremendously complex nervous control mechanism. These conditioned reflexes are, however, subject to control and manipulation through the device of manipulating an individual's environment. An individual's present conditioning is always a result of all of his own past experiences. The more nearly the environment of a large number of people is kept identical, the more nearly are all the human products identical. This is the reason for the great similarity among individuals of various groups, for example, college students, policemen, politicians, Rotarians, farmers, and soldiers. And this diatribe goes on. But the main point here is that the extremely low view of humans is seen here in technocracy. The human animal is just chemical atoms and molecules derived from inorganic materials of the earth. And so there cannot possibly be an ethical problem for a technocrat to put human genes into monkeys or any other animal for that matter, or in the opposite direction. They're just animals after all. And people throughout history have bred various species of like cattle and horses and other domesticated animals to achieve certain traits. What they're doing is no different. It's just mixing up the genes and playing with the elements of life to see what will happen. This is very dangerous thinking. But this indeed is the mind of the technocrat, and we see that this is how the Chinese technocrat thinks. This is also how technocrats in America think and in North America. The next story will be no shock, I suppose, to anyone, but Google is back in the news again. And you remember a few weeks ago that the CEO of Google testified before Congress that, in fact, there was no manual operation at Google to skew or suppress search results. And that was what Congress heard, and that's what Congress believed. Now, a different story has appeared from inside Google. Emails and papers and other documents have been secured that show that, in fact, Google does keep a news blacklist in order to manually skew the search results. This is incredible. The article starts out, Google does manipulate its search engines manually, contrary to the company's official denials. Documents obtained exclusively by the Daily Caller indicate. So, Google has again shown its propensity to lie. Just simply say whatever's necessary at the time to get past, like Congress, for instance, and then come to find out the exact opposite was true. The mind of a technocrat apparently has no problem with lying. I guess maybe that's because of the low view of humanity that they have, or humanists that they have. If there really is no basis for true ethical values, or moral values, then you can do whatever you want to do. You can say whatever you want to say. If it's not the truth, who cares? We'll just get on down the road. We'll tell them whatever they want to hear, get them out of our face, go back to work. I doubt seriously that there will be charges brought against the CEO of Google for lying to Congress. I'm not sure that charges shouldn't be brought. Somewhere along the way, these people need to be held accountable for their actions because they truly are despicable. And that's not to throw all the people at Google or all the employees at Google under the bus. I'm certain there are some good people that work at Google that are not bent on trying to control the world and control people. But certainly the leadership has that view. They don't have a problem with that. The last story that is important today is what's happening with the internet itself. The internet has been a great boon for alternative media, if you will. Imagine where we would be today if there was no internet and distribution of news on the internet by citizen journalists, if the only thing we had to listen to were the mainstream media. With all the propaganda they're putting out, there would be no way to see an alternative story, ever. So we've had a great boon and a great run with the internet. But because of what various nations, individual nations, are doing in creating new laws, new regulations to control the internet in their country, the internet now is in danger of being splintered almost into oblivion. China is looking for its own experience on the internet. So is Europe. And so is the United States. This is reminiscent of George Orwell's book, 1984, dystopian novel that featured the so-called Ministry of Truth. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. The article starts out, "Is the dream of a one global internet still alive? Increasingly, moves by governments to filter and restrict content are threatening to fragment the system created with the promise of connecting the world with a largely unified body of content. China for years has walled off some of its Western services, and the fragmentation may be accelerating with regulations being imposed elsewhere," say analysts. This is leading to a splinter net, they call it, a term circulated for a decade or more, but gaining more traction in recent months. The internet is already fragmented in material ways, but each regulator around the world thinks they know how to fix the internet, said Eric Goldman, director of the High Tech Law Institute at Santa Clara University. Quote, "I think we will see a tsunami of regulations that will lead to a further splintering of the internet." Now, what the impact of this is still uncertain. It hasn't quite happened to such an extent that it's obvious, except in China, of course. I think it's pretty obvious, but elsewhere it's not yet. Europe has just created some very draconian copyright laws that will prevent any other news source from linking to an original story that's put out by one of the major publications. So that would also include stories, perhaps, that Technocracy News links from Europe. We may be blocked from linking those stories at some point. That wouldn't be the end of Technocracy News and Trends, obviously, but we get a lot of stories from overseas right now that are very important in telling the story about Technocracy. Well, between transgenic monkeys, Google blacklisting people manually, and breaking up the internet, Technocracy is definitely in the news today. More and more Americans are waking up to the fact that there really is something rotten in this whole thing, and they're starting to see through the charade. But there's a long way to go. I hope you'll take advantage of the material that we have on Technocracy News and Trends to share stories, to print stories, hand them out to people, whatever, to take the knowledge that you gain and share it with your friends, with groups you belong to, with family, and so on, and get them up to speed on scientific dictatorship. You can buy a copy of Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, or my earlier book, Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. Both of those books together give you a full picture of technocracy. It's sweeping the world under the name of sustainable development, green economy, Green New Deal, Agenda 2030, the New Urban Agenda, and a few other names like that. This is deadly serious business. We're seeing more and more symptoms pop up with stories like these that just underscore the fact that technocracy is real and it's advancing on the world. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.